Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
And A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts safe.
What can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddy.
Welcome to Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. A really special episode. It is number 200. And we were going to do it at Fenway, but John didn't want to be bothered. So we're doing it in studio.
You know how much I love Fenway. Yeah. Why not do the 200th there, right?
And so, I mean, to be honest, to do anything that much is pretty impressive. And if you are a new listener, you probably don't know the genesis of the podcast. And, you know, John is a lifelong diehard Yankee fan. I am a born and raised Red Sox fan. I am not quite as passionate in 2025 as John still is. But during the pandemic, we had nothing to do. And John shoots me a text and says, what do you think of this? And I'm like, gosh, the world just doesn't need another podcast. And he said, well, we'll do this Red Sox-Yankees. That's not out there. And I said, well, you're kind of right. It's not out there. And then we started, and then we continued. And then it became more than just Yankees-Red Sox. It became just a baseball life, anything. And people who listen to it like it, and people who don't, sucks for them. You just were bored? Is that it?
No, I wasn't. I mean, I wasn't as bored. I just thought, like you said, like this, there wasn't a podcast that talked about this, that talked about it. But what I like about it is what you touched on is, you know, we could have easily just kept talking Yankees, Red Sox. Like, there's always something you could talk about. And we could do a 15-minute podcast on that, just about anything. Just bring up a topic, you know? But that's, we didn't do that. We let the, like, in a way, we let the podcast kind of dictate itself. Basically, yeah. You know, like our lives or what's going on in the world or just obscure things that we would talk about that weren't baseball or, you know, like your daughter going off to college or, you know, my sobriety. Or,
yeah.
So that, I think, is cool because, you know, a lot of, I mean, I'm not going to say a lot. Everyone can relate to that kind of stuff because everyone's going through that kind of stuff. So it's a relatable podcast, not only just for sports and the rivalry, but for life in general.
Yeah, I thought that when you talked about your sobriety, was it a sort of a really broadening of things? And we're ourselves, and that's the bottom line. And I do appreciate that. Real quickly before we get to baseball, because we have a huge weekend, and the irony, it's not really ironic, but, you know, we started as Red Sox-Yankees, and we have Red Sox-Yankees this weekend, and it doesn't mean nothing. It's not like the Red Sox are threatening the Yankees, but between this Dobbins stuff, which we'll get into, and the fact that the Red Sox took 2 or 3 in New York, I mean, it has a little bit more juice than they have, although it's not like 20 years ago type thing. But let me ask you just really quickly, one or two things that stand out for you over these 200, maybe one or two episodes that meant the most to you or you liked the most?
Well, you talked about the sobriety thing. I'd be lying if I didn't say that, like, talking about it was also part of a goal, right? Because you got to set goals and that whole thing. Like, you know, everyone does their thing differently.
Like their 12-steppy things, you mean?
Yeah, but no, it was more of just like, you know, hey, if I can do this, then I can talk about it. And if people hear it, maybe, you know, like the whole cliche, someone else would do it. Or it was just a personal goal, too, for me. But, you know, the guests that we had, too, like the Clint Hurdle one and the Fred Lynn one and you know, some of those that just kind of came out of left field, like out of nowhere. Like, oh, hey, Clint Hurdle wants to do a podcast. Yeah. You know, like,
who was the kid who played with Adley Rushman in the minors? The kid who's...
Oh, Jackson Olson.
No, there's another guy, though.
What
was his name?
Willie Yan.
Yeah, I liked him.
Yeah,
I liked
that
him
kind
a
of
ton.
Stuff. So you get such a different perspective about the game. And, like, and if you look at, like... I went back and I was just scrolling through the titles of our episodes, and we've done 200 episodes in 4 years. That's like one every week, basically.
Yeah, right.
That is impressive. But I'm looking at some of these titles and I'm like, don't remember, don't remember, don't remember, don't remember. And I'm like, what does that mean? What does that mean? That's funny. Then I get to one where it's like, is Raffy worth it? And it was like when we were like talking about the Red Sox signing him to his big contract. And a lot of the stuff we talked about there is true. Like, you questioned his leadership. Mm-hmm. But you also said he plays with a smile on his face, which he wasn't doing at the beginning of this season. And we talked about he didn't have a no trade clause. And so they could deal him. But now it's hard because he's a one-dimensional player. So it's interesting to see. Like,
we were ahead of trend on a bunch of stuff.
A lot of stuff, too. Yeah. So your perspective into how you follow the Red Sox, which you got to give yourself credit, Brian. You know a lot more than you give yourself credit for. And like, yes, I am very passionate about the Yankees, but I just follow baseball in general. So I think that also helps too, in a way, brings to the podcast.
I would say two things just, and then we'll get to the reason of the episode. One is I also like the pandemic was crazy, and I've known Rico Bronya since the late 90s. But I mean, doing that in my basement, and he's such a nice guy, and he's been in, you know, listen, he played with Hall of Famers and he hit a walk-off home run in Fenway Park. And, you know, he just did some things that you always wish you had done. And he grew up in a Red Sox household. That was cool. But I just want to, you were nice and kind to say that, but I mean, this doesn't happen without you. And there were weeks that I was like, I don't want to do it. And you're like, listen, 20 minutes, just listen, you drive here from Canton and do it. And so, I mean, I believe like this is 75 to 80% you, and I'm grateful for it because we've become closer.
Yeah.
And I appreciate our friendship, and I appreciate, I've learned a lot about baseball and being a dad. And so I really want to thank you for that.
Yeah. It's funny. You know, I was thinking the same exact thing as I was walking the dogs this morning. I do a lot of my thinking, but it's a commitment. It really is. And like, you know, a lot of podcasts fail fast because it's that part is a commitment, but like our schedules are whack and they're really whacked out now. So for us to be in person like this is super cool for number 200. It's a thing in general now to be cool, but for 200, it's great. But yeah, it's a commitment on both ends. There's a lot of like, but it's never like, it's never, for some reason, it's never like an issue. It doesn't become an issue. Which
and
is
it
great.
Doesn't feel like work, which is nice. Listen, this is Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. We have this series this weekend. I mean, I have no illusions on the Red Sox. I don't feel like they've turned any corners. I think they've just, in general, I'm not kissing the season off, but they've given away too many games. So they have to like play like, so well to make up for that I don't think it's possible, even if they got hot. Like, they've probably given away a minimum, and every team does it, so I'm not being stupid, but there's at least 6 to 8 games that they absolutely should have won. Forget about all the one-run losses. Some of those you're going to lose.
Yeah.
But there are at least 8 games that they should have won, and I don't think you can make up for those.
No.
I don't.
Especially when you don't have, you know, the team's just not doing what they, you know, should be doing.
They suck. Yeah, they don't have good fundamentals. They don't have good chemistry. They don't have good leadership. I mean, the only thing that gives any, but the reason if you're a fan to go to the ballpark is to say you saw Marcelo Meyer as a rookie, to say, you know, you saw Roman Anthony as a rookie. And Christian Campbell, I don't think he's on some Hall of Fame trajectory, but he's not bad either. But that's the reason to go is to watch those three guys.
Well, maybe that's what the team is, you know, that they're in their so-called rebuilding stage, you know, which they have talked about. Like, they weren't going to, like, compete for a few years.
Well, everyone seemed to think... to seem that they were going to compete this year.
Yeah, well, because they played above expectations last season. That's why.
Right.
But listen, they had Roman Anthony. You called it with Marcel Mera that they would be up this season. But at the same time, like, it's exciting for the team, but it's a ton of pressure on those players. So they can't expect that those players are going to carry your team. Like, they're look at Jack Caglione in Kansas City. He's struggling coming up too.
Right.
Like, it's not easy. It's not an easy thing to do. So yeah, I think the Red Sox, I think their season is what it's become. It's become an audition for people to be traded. It's become a thorn in the side of the teams ahead of them, or the rivalry teams, or the teams that are kind of come up. And, maybe they get hot here and there, and they eventually try to compete for a wild card. But like you said, Brian, they're not an exciting team. They're not a team that is probably built to compete. So, it's kind of a status quo, how they've been.
I think Meyer, I'm really, since that two-home run game, I feel like maybe he'll release the hounds a little bit and get that confidence. I just wish they'd play him against lefties a little more. If you're going to suck, you might as well let him learn how to hit lefties. But on the Yankee side for this series, I do think that there's I wouldn't say pressure, but if the Red Sox take two or three, I don't know. That's two series in a row they would take from the Yankees.
And they did the same thing to him in 2024. They took the season series from him. So
what is the problem that the Yankees have with the Red Sox if they have one?
I'm not too sure what the deal is with that. I mean, I think it's just the whole rivalry thing. It's just the fact that
the Red Sox punch added, above their weight a little bit when they play.
Yeah, absolutely. Huh. I think they do, and I think that is one of the big factors in it. And I think that's one of the big factors in it. Doing that.
What's wrong?
You keep hitting that button, and it's like I'll hear myself talking.
Oh, it makes a noise.
It's driving me crazy. Dude.
I don't know what that is.
That's
in the
you
studio.
And your headphones.
I just, I don't want to cough on the air.
I'm sitting here trying to talk and it's like, stop saying
You got
to
be a professional, John. I had a scratch in my throat and I'm troubleshooting.
That scratch has lasted for like 2 minutes.
All right. Are you done?
No. I want to talk about the Yankees. You ask me a question. All I keep hearing is myself talking back to me in here. It's like the mix minus of like the John McCain box.
You got to be able to handle
awful.
It. You got to be able to. Okay, listen.
All right. What the thing about the Yankees this weekend, I think, is the big story. Is Giancarlo going to show up? Is he going
to
come up?
Is he supposed to play this weekend?
Well, I think the rumor is that they might activate him for the Yankees. As we record on Friday morning, it's early that we're recording, and all of a sudden, this happens a lot with us.
The news breaks
in the afternoon.
Yeah, yeah.
But he was playing in Double-A Somerset, and he's been hitting. He's been fine. He hasn't showed any ill effects, so I think he might actually show up, and I think that would be a huge boost, but that raises huge questions for the Yankees.
Who comes out?
Exactly. I would think it would probably be Pablo Reyes would be the odd man out because, or maybe Peraza, the infielder, but man, I tell you, it's going to be interesting. DJ's not going anywhere. Ben Rice won't go anywhere because he's a good lefty bat. He can catch if needed, so maybe Ascara's the odd man out, but like Matt, our producer, and I were talking before the show, he's that great story, the Uber driver and all that stuff.
Who's DHing right now?
Well, they rotate it. They rotate it in and out depending on who's. Ben Rice could do it. Wells would do it.
You assume Stanton will not play the field?
No, he's not playing the field. They're not going to do that. I mean, I think what they'll do is they'll play it cool for a while and they'll ease him back in. As I say in quotation marks, he won't play every day, but he's going to be the DH. And once he gets cranking, you're not going to disagree with me. He's the difference maker in that lineup.
When he's healthy. And look what Judge's coverage has done for Ben Rice or what have you. Like, you can't, they're going to be hard to pitch around. I mean, I honestly, I don't know another lineup in baseball that'll be more difficult to get through to the bottom than the New York Yankees.
Yeah,
when
healthy,
he's
they are a dangerous, dangerous team. And, they have pitching coming back. Stroman's on rehab. And listen, if they get Luis Gil back after the All-Star break and he becomes what he should be and
well,
what he's been.
He's rookie of the year.
Yeah, so the Yankees could be a very dangerous team going down. But, we're not going to talk about the rest of the league, but, there's a lot of other dangerous teams out there.
Well, I mean, honestly, I think we've disrespected the Central, I guess. Because maybe Detroit's the real deal.
I'm going to disrespect him. I picked him to go to the World Series.
I did not. And I just assume everyone throws up on themselves from the Central, same in the NL. So yeah. I don't. But I mean, I think the best teams are in the National League anyway. I mean, I think the Yankees have not a clear path, but I think that the American League path to the World Series is a heck of a lot easier than the National League. And I'm curious if sort of the lack of, I mean, I think they've already won the American League East. I really do, even though Toronto has played amazing. But the thing is, like, it's like a run in basketball. You can win 12 out of 14, but you're not going to win a 24 out of 28.
Toronto.
I mean, you can't sustain. they made the move. It's like in a race where somebody works so hard to catch up to the lead, but then once they catch up to the lead, they're gassed. Yeah. So they're not going to be able to win another 12 out of 14.
They need to prove that they can do it, and they haven't in the past. That's a fair assessment.
Yeah. So I think the division's done, and I wonder if the Yankees are – I mean, is it good or bad that they won't be tested as much as they have in years past? I don't know.
I'm not going to say anything's done because the Yankees can really crap the bed. We've seen it in the past. They got a crazy start, and they went into the absolute tank for a month and a half a couple years ago. So – I am not going to.
And of course, an injury. I mean, if Judge goes down, it's over.
If Judge goes down, the whole team goes down. Let's be honest. I mean, he's the most valuable player in baseball. I don't give me Ohtani crap or any of that other stuff. He is the.
The anti-Ohtani sentiment, you know, because the Sunday night.
He's the single most biggest. I mean, look at it. Dude, you anybody around, you want to throw any comments or calls and tell me he is not the best player in baseball?
No, I'm not. I don't disagree with that. But producer Matt and I were talking to, like, the Yankees Red Sox are not the Sunday night game. That's bananas, right? And why aren't they? It's because they're going with Ohtani and the Dodgers, which I find fascinating. I think it just shows that there's not as
global
much
marketing.
Juice. Well, there's not as much juice in the rivalry nationally and the global thing. Because baseball, let's face it, I mean, we'll do a whole episode on this. Baseball is really struggling in America. Yeah. And when you have Ohtani and you have that West Coast team and there's good Latin American influence on the team too, it's a global team.
Yeah.
And that's where the money is for baseball right now, is overseas. But I mean, it is kind of fascinating that we don't have a Sunday night game when it's Yankees-Red Sox. But I do think at some point we have to talk about Judge. I thought we would pause for a second here. I don't think he's going to bat 400 ultimately, but he's potentially going to have a... Remember those seasons you look at like Honus Wagner's card? You're like,
this is
insane.
Yeah.
You know, how do you have, you know, bat 360... you know, with 40 home runs and 168 RBI. But that's what we're going to have.
Yeah. It's, you know, you've seen some crazy seasons in the past. I believe like Albert Bell and Frank Thomas almost were like 100 RBIs by the All-Star break one year. And they cool off, obviously. And you never know how the season goes. But listen, if you are a baseball fan and you're watching him, and he is the draw, and he is something special. He is definitely something special. And I am glad I've seen him and your favorite player, Jeter.
Or whatever.
So, you know.
Jeter. So overrated.
Judge is definitely not overrated. That's for
no,
sure.
No, I mean, I never was a Jeter guy, but that's fine. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is episode 200 of Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Let's rip through a couple things real quick here. Hunter Dobbins, we're not going to go through the whole story. Part of his backstory is that his dad was drafted twice by the Yankees. He stole Ken Griffey Jr.'s line about he'd rather retire than play for the Yankees. Then it turns out his dad never was drafted by the Yankees, and it was all made up. And I just wonder if his dad lied to him or he just made it up. I don't even know what to think.
I would imagine it was something. You know, his dad was a baseball player. He played some independent league ball. Never even played for the Diamondbacks. Like, apparently,
but he was in their system.
Was in their system. Played independent ball. But I think it was more of something like, you know, he was probably a diehard Red Sox fan growing up, the dad, and he was a baseball playing, and the kid looked up to him, and he was probably one of those dads that was fringe guys, and was like, screw the Yankees. They drafted me and they never wanted me or something. And the kid probably just stuck in his head. I mean, it's like he said, I'm not going to fact check my dad. But what I thought is funny here is, like, you know, the poor guy, he says something at his father. Obviously, he's not going to fact check his dad, but that's what we do, right? That's what the media does. They fact checked. And again, the internet never loses.
Oh my gosh.
It's so great. The internet never loses.
And it actually put a little juice into the rivalry because he seems like a fraud, but he went out there. Judge took him deep and then he pitched really, really well.
Yeah,
and he's pitching Saturday in this series.
Redone. Yeah, and he's pitching pretty well for the season. He's got the typical around 4 ERA, but he's got a winning record. And I think it's hilarious because you couldn't be in a better situation to say it. You couldn't be in a better markets to say it. And like, you know, when that was said initially, every writer in person just started drooling.
Right.
They literally just started
drooling. Got myself an article and a headline and everything.
I love the one headline was Barstool was like, in a hilarious turn of events, the dad of the Red Sox rookie, Ritter Hunter, lied to him about being drafted and traded by the Yankees, as well as his friendship with Andy Pettit.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's funny. It's funny.
The dad was totally full of crap.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the son who called him on it, but the collective media. And I heard some sports radio folks saying, like, the media, of course, is going to check this. Like, why wouldn't they? This is not the media's fault. It's the dad's fault, okay?
And Get ahead of it, Dad.
Well, the thing is, and don't double down. Like, I've coached youth sports, you know, my children's whole life. And I was taking one of my son's friends to his baseball practice, and I went to the wrong field. I totally screwed up, and he was 10 minutes late. And he's like, the coach doesn't mind as long as we let him know. I said, let him know. And I say, any coach who gets a kid in trouble for being late is an idiot, because it's the parents' fault.
Yeah.
It's never the kid's fault.
Right.
And this is the case too. This is the dad's fault. Yeah. This is not the kid's fault. I just feel bad that he put himself out there on a lie. I mean, it's just,
if this was like 25 years ago, it would have been a minute. It would have been not even 30 seconds, but man, I love the internet is great.
Yeah, it is. The internet is solid. Let's talk Bat Dog.
Yeah, speaking of the internet, new internet sensation.
What is so? They do this in the minors, right? They train a dog to go get the bat.
There's been a few of them. The Yankees, when they were the Trenton Thunder, had a Bat Dog, and it's been going around for probably 15, 20 years, I would think.
But they're doing it in the bigs.
Yeah, the Bat Dog originally came from the Rochester Red Wings, which is the AAA affiliate of the Washington Nationals. Yep. And the Bat Dog is Bruce. He's a just over one-year-old golden retriever.
Wow, he's young.
Cute as hell.
Well, you like goldens. That's your
dog. I love
goldens.
I have two of them. But the best part about this is, you know, this is interesting because this is big for Major League Baseball. This is you've never had like an actual animal doing something on the field. And I don't think there's any rules about it, obviously. And as we speak today on Friday, he will debut tonight against the Marlins. So not a high-pressure situation. He's going to be against the Marlins. But how cute, though. They did a nice, like, send-up for him. He was talking to the coach.
Yeah, they said he got called up. Yeah,
he was sitting there cute. I mean, it's a great marketing ploy, too.
I also think it speaks to the need to do more to get people to go here in the States.
And I believe it's Bark in the Park tonight, too, for the Nationals.
So I hope
they're
hitting
it out of the park already.
I hope he drops a big old deuce on the first
walks
baseline.
Out to get the bat.
Because they get nervous.
Yeah, some of them, you've seen, they run around the field and get crazy. And listen, as much as you think about it, it's a one-year-old golden retriever. So anything's possible, believe me. I've had three of them now.
And they've done some damage and some spots.
So cute, though. So cute.
I think it's a great idea. But I will say, because back when we started with the Red Sox as season ticket holders, they never even played music in between stuff. There was never like any cue to cheer. You know, every other stadium does like make some noise. Like Fenway never did that.
Yeah.
And I think that I don't like that stuff, but what I will say, like, I love whether it's in DC with the president's race.
Yeah.
What is it, Pittsburgh that does the
sausage?
I even like the dude who runs fast in Atlanta.
Milwaukee does the sausages. Pittsburgh does, I don't know what they do, but
Milwaukee does the sausages. Yeah. I think that's, I mean, as a 53-year-old guy, I could watch that crap all day long.
Or the freeze guy that runs and tries to beat the guy.
Yeah, in Atlanta, I think that's
cool stuff.
So, but like, why wouldn't they do like, I don't know, Sam Adams, John Hancock, or like in Boston, like do like in like a Larry Bird.
Yeah.
I mean, like, why wouldn't you do something like that? Because it's for a minute and a half.
I do a firefighter race up the Green Monster.
That's a good one, too.
They can go up fast, those guys. What I think what's funny is for this is they...
That's a really good idea, by the way.
Well, if someone jacks that idea, I'm copywriting that right now.
That's a really good idea.
As we say right now, that's my idea.
Okay,
John
Senegal, time stamp
episode it. 200 of Fan Base, deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Going back to the Bat Dog... You remember if you watched baseball over the years, it was a bat boy, you know, like Dusty Baker's son who was now playing for the Washington Nationals, I believe, double A in minor leagues. And he's in the majors. It was little kids. Now you go there and it's like
bat doctoral student.
Bat doctoral student or bat dude or like the guy had in Cleveland and it was in the Yankees dugout, like looked all scruffy and they made him shave his beard and then he came back as the Yankees had the beard policy lifted.
That's funny.
So it's like those people, but now it's a dog. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, we're into it. We are into it. But I think my point is that we just do more. I don't care. Like hokey stuff at baseball games never bothers me. I like the stupid baby races.
T-shirt cannon's lame, dude.
Yeah,
that's lame.
I mean, the bait is it. Is
well,
it,
I don't say T-shirt cannon's cool. It's the throwing the T-shirts because they never go far enough. It's like they just loop over.
If you're
the
in the
edge.
Upper deck
and
or
now
whatever,
now the damn nets down the side changes.
Yeah,
everything.
Well, certain seats can't get them. Just like you can't get certain pucks at the hockey game because
you will
of the
not
netting.
Get hit in the face, but you will not be getting a T-shirt either.
Correct. Any last thoughts going into the weekend?
Oh, no, I've got some, hopefully the weather in New England has been terrible. Every Saturday it feels like it's rained up here, so hopefully the weather holds out. State championship games tonight, I'm going to go watch the Class M in Connecticut.
Is this the one with Glastonbury?
Well, Glastonbury's in the Class Double L.
So people who don't know the story, Glastonbury, Connecticut, in their division, was the 32nd ranked team, the last team to make the state tournament, and they're playing for a state title. If you don't get up for that, I mean, that's a Cinderella story as you can get. That's not a 16 beating a 1. That's a 16 going to the Final Four.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's
it's
what
amazing
that is.
Is what it is. And they knocked off, obviously, because they were 32 seed, they whacked off like the defending double time champions in the first round. So it's exciting. I mean, baseball's great. Youth baseball is awesome. And when you, and if you watch baseball, I love to say that, you're going to see good baseball. These teams didn't get there because they make four errors a game and the pitchers, you know, only strike out two. So it's going to be a good game no matter what.
Yeah, the baseball is high quality. And my old town of Braintree, Massachusetts is in the state championship in Massachusetts too. So I just love seeing, you know, the kids you saw playing Little League growing up.
Yeah.
Now like grown ass men.
Yeah.
Doing
and they grow quick, man. Oh. It's nuts. So the team that's playing tonight is Suffield and they're playing, I believe Stonington, Connecticut. And my son played with a lot of these kids in the summer league.
Yeah.
Even though it's a town a few miles away actually. But so it's exciting. So he's excited about it because a lot of his friends play there.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So it should be interesting. I hope they win.
Listen, enjoy life. Enjoy the weekend. You've been listening to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.